is up, everyone? You're listening to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Monday, December 14th, 2020. And I'm Chip, I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, hit the bell, so you don't miss any more episodes. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about all my reactions to the Week 14 matchups, all the fantasy studs. I mean, this was the first week of the fantasy playoffs, and a lot of great, you know, great outcomes for some of your studs. I mean, it was it started off pretty hectic in the first quarter of most of these games, and it's what you want. You're hoping for your guys to do what they're supposed to do when you get these fantasy studs on your roster. You want them to perform, especially on a consistent basis, and based on, you know, it being the fantasy playoffs, based on match, you know, just based on, you know, like, for example, Dalvin Cook had one of the worst playoff schedules, and he went against Tampa Bay and actually had a pretty decent fantasy game. You really were disappointed in what he did, but, you know, that is what it is. I mean, but before we get into all the reactions, let's go over some of the news. And right now, it looks like Matthew Stafford could miss Week 15 due to a rib injury that he sustained yesterday. Still going to get some tests and still trying to figure out what his participation will be in practice. But it looks like, as of right now, he could be in doubt for Week 15. And then Bucks running back Ronald Jones is dealing with a fractured pinky that he got on Sunday. So this may limit his touches. Obviously, him coming out of the backfield as a receiver could limit that. So something to monitor. I mean, we've seen Chris Godwin play with a splint on his finger with a broken finger after surgery. So my guess is that Ronald Jones would be okay. But I understand it's a running back, so obviously the security of the ball is going to be a little different. But I do think that he still can play, but it could be a limited fashion on Sunday. And then Gardner Minshew is now going to start Week 15 against the Ravens. Looks like the Jaguars coach, Doug Marrone, came out and said that they're going to go back to Gardner Minshew, which is weird to me because it seems like he's been healthy for the last few weeks, and I'm not sure why they would go ahead and just now put him in, you know, with a few games left. I think that I don't want to think that this is coming from a strategy based on draft position, because if they win games, they'll be out of the running for, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. But I don't know. I think that, you know, Gardner Minshew came in and he got about 15, you know, fantasy points yesterday. So I don't know. I think it's a kind of an odd move, but hey, if you kept on, you know, you kept holding on to Gardner Minshew, if you're in a two quarterback league, then you're going to be pretty set up for the remainder of the games. And then Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts is going to start again in Week 15. Doug Peterson came out on Monday and declared that. So looks like Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season, which honestly, he looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, you know, he had over 100 yards rushing, and he had a passing touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey. So I do think that they're kind of seeing what they have in him to see if they're going to move on from Carson Wentz. I mean, as of right now, on December 14th, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine with all the dead cap space that the Eagles have, if they try to move Carson Wentz. I don't see it's very likely that he's going to be on, you know, that he's not going to be on the Eagles next year. But unless you can find somebody who's willing to take on that contract and all that stuff, it's just going to be very interesting to kind of see how it goes, you know, for Carson Wentz moving forward. And then wide receiver Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, there was a play yesterday that he ran a route, he pulled up and started grabbing his hamstring, and it was concerning that he sustained a hamstring injury. But it looks like Ian Rappaport of NFL Network has reported that it was only cramps. Hopefully that's the case, because this would be the worst time to lose Tyreek Hill, especially if you have him on your roster, especially for the Chiefs, because they're trying to, you know, keep up with trying to take over the number one seed in the AFC. So not something that you would really want to have for your stud wide receiver. And then last, looks like Christian McCaffrey. There's a chance that he could play again in 2020. Matt Rhule, the head coach for the Panthers, said that they're not trying to shut him down, but they want to be smart with them. But it looks like he could play in Week 15. But, you know, it's one of those things where that's all coach talk. I don't really know if that's the smartest move. I think obviously players always want to play. And I think that the coach and the trainers have to be smart about protecting Christian McCaffrey. I love watching Christian McCaffrey play. I mean, he's such a dynamic player. He's fun to watch. But at this point, is it really worth it? You know, that's just my unbiased opinion about him. But, you know, if he does come back, hopefully he's able to help you win a fantasy championship and hopefully give you that boost that your roster needs. If you're able to make it this far, hopefully you're able to win in week 14. And hopefully, you know, you have another piece to put, you know, to your lineup for week 15. But that is all the news for Monday. And now let's go into all of the top plays for week 14. And let's start off with the fastest ball carrier. Now this goes to Tyreek Hill. You know, he, on his 44-yard TD reception, he hit a top speed of 21.91 miles per hour. So it's surprising to me to see that he has not been on this list more often as the top player. But, you know, he got the top spot in week 14. Now going on to the longest play for week 14, it goes to Nasir Adderley for the Los Angeles Chargers. He ran a total of 117.4 yards on a 76-yard kickoff return. So that seems to be a little more on the normal side, because I can't remember if it was last week or the week before where we had a guy get 17 yards gained, but he ran like 140 yards or something like that. So that's a little more on the normal side on how many yards compared to what was gained. And then going to the fastest sack, that goes to Bucks free safety Antoine Winfield. He's able to sack Kirk Cousins in 2.06 seconds. I mean, that is obviously on a blitz, but that's freakishly fast. So good to see a Bucks, you know, safety get the top spot for the fastest sack. Now going on to the improbable completion. Now this goes to Tua. He threw a ball to Mike Gesicki. It was on their 29-yard TD hookup. They had a completion probability of 18.3%. So that was a pretty, you know, pretty high based on we've seen a lot of, you know, 14s, 12s, but you know that was a little on the higher side that we usually see. And then lastly, it's the remarkable rush. Now this goes to David Montgomery. So the first play of the Chicago Bears game, David Montgomery ran the ball 80 yards for a touchdown. And he's only expected to get 7 yards on the rush. So he got 73 yards over expected, which I had made a trade for David Montgomery a few weeks ago. So I lost Joe Burrow. I'm in a 2-quarterback league. And I have Big Ben, Joe Burrow, and Sam Darnold on my roster. And then when Joe Burrow went down, I went ahead and traded James Robinson for Baker Mayfield and David Montgomery. Now, this was the clear case of somebody who was not performing up to par. He was on the concussion protocol. And as soon as he came back, I think he's averaging like 25 points per game. And he has one of the easiest playoff schedules. So if you're able to make a move for David Montgomery when you were able to, you're definitely reaping the benefits of that. But it's one of those things where David Montgomery is a talented running back. But it's just the offense and opportunity. And right now, I think with Tariq Cohen out, I think that hurt his value last year. And he was a rookie, so sometimes some players just take a little bit longer to develop. But this year, you know, he's really the only guy. He's getting majority of the touches. He is going to be someone who's going to win someone a fantasy championship because he is balling out right now. So it's good if you have him. So hopefully you're able to make a trade for him when you're able to. But those are the top plays, and all the top plays come from Next Gen Stats. Now let's go into all of the week 14 reactions, and let's start off with the Vikings versus the Bucks. Now this is, you know, this is a game, the Bucks came off a bye week, and this is something that we're hoping to see, you know, hoping to see the Bucks come back, hopefully get an offense that was more catered towards Tom Brady's skill set. And honestly, there were some throws that Tom Brady missed yesterday, but then he comes back and he hits Scotty Miller on a long 48-yard touchdown reception. So, you know, this is one of those things where I feel like we're still going to continue to have these ups and downs with this offense. But overall, from a fantasy standpoint, Tom Brady had 196 yards and 2 touchdowns, so not an awful game. Kirk Cousins, he didn't really do what you expected him to do. He had 225 yards and a touchdown. You know, the Bucs have a pretty, you know, thin secondary. So I was very surprised that we didn't see a lot more out of Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. They pretty much shut him down, which was very interesting because Justin Jefferson is a very fast wide receiver. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, Tyreek Hill torched the Bucs defense in the corners, you know, in that game against the Chiefs. And I was surprised that Justin Jefferson didn't have a better game. But moving on to the running backs, Dalvin Cook, you know, the Bucs have not given up a 100-yard rusher the whole entire season. And that goes back to last year, too, later in the season when their defense pretty much took a corner to being more dominant. And so he had 22 carries on 102 yards and a touchdown. You know, he had another 2 receptions for 8 yards. So Dalvin Cook showed up yesterday, even though it was a tough matchup. I understand there's a lot of analysts out there that, you know, go based on, you know, tough matchups, and that's all true. But when you have somebody who's gained all of the workload, a talent like Dalvin Cook, there's going to be a matter of time he's going to wear and tear on that defense, and he's going to get his points. So, he had a good game yesterday. Ronald Jones, he had a decent game, too. He had 18 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. You know, he gave another reception for 4 yards. And then going on to the wide receivers, you know, Irv Smith Jr., he was the one who led the Vikings. He had 4 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. Like I said, Adam Thielen, 3 for 39 on 4 targets, and Justin Jefferson was 5 for 39 on 8 targets. So not a lot of production out of those two guys. Going on to the Bucs, Mike Evans, he had 3 receptions for 56 yards on 5 targets. Antonio Brown was 5 for 49 on 5 targets. And Sky Miller was 1 for 40 on a touchdown, and then Gronk had the other touchdown. So overall, I mean, the Bucs got the 8-5. They keep themselves in the playoff hunt. You know, Minnesota Vikings need something to go their way for them to be able to, you know, clinch that last playoff berth. But as of right now, you know, it's that time of the year where you have to get in playoff mode. You have to try to figure out how to win games in December to hopefully get yourself in a position to be in the playoffs. Now moving on to the Chicago Bears versus the Texans. The Bears won this game 36-7. Honestly, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, you know, start off with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he had 267 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. He had about 31 fantasy points yesterday. You know, this is right now, I know it's ugly, but you try to stream the best quarterback you can, best, you know, based on the defense they're playing. Texans have a awful defense. So Mitchell Trubisky had a great game. They won the game. You know, that's all good. You know what I'm saying? So like, you just have to look at that and stream the right players when you can, because that's going to help you win. On the Texas side of the ball, Deshaun Watson, he had 219 yards and a touchdown, so not the best game for him. Going to the ground game, David Montgomery, he had 11 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown. Then he gave you another 3 receptions for 42 yards on 4 targets. Now, you know, that this is, you kind of look at this, right? His first play of the game, he ran for 80 yards, right? So then he only had 33 yards after that. So it's one of those things where they rolled on the Texans, so there wasn't a lot that he could do based on the fact that they need to run the ball. I mean, Trubisky threw the ball 33 times, but I do think that David Montgomery, I mean, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does in the next couple of weeks. And going to the Texans side of the ball, which was interesting, was Buddy Howell was the lead carrier for the Texans. He had 11 carries for 42 yards. Deshaun Watson had 7 for 38 yards. And then Duke Johnson, he was only 8 for 26. So disappointing if you had to play Duke Johnson in place of David Johnson. Now going to the wide receivers, Allen Robinson, he had 9 receptions for 123 yards and a touchdown on 13 targets. So that is obviously Allen Robinson. He's one of the top target, you know, guys out there, and his stats are going to be a lot better with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. So good for Allen Robinson to have a good game. For the Texans, you know, Chad Hansen was 7 for 56 on 7 targets. Kiki QT was 3 for 24 and 1 touchdown. You know, so I mean, you know, a lot of people, because of Brandon Cooks being inactive, they had to find some other people to try to put in there to try to get the, you know, some production from the wide receiver position. And you know, Kiki QT was just not the play that you had hoped yesterday. But you know, it's one of those things where I was surprised that Brandon Cook got inactive, but it's just one of those things where, you know, that it's health over play right now. I mean, it's late in the season. you know, and you just want to try to protect your players as much as you can. Now, going on to the Cowboys versus the Bengals, the Cowboys rolled over the Bengals 30-7. Now, I had Andy Dalton as a streamer this week, and he didn't really do a bad job. I mean, he had 185 yards and 2 touchdowns. When it comes to the ground game, Ezekiel Elliott, he had 12 carries for 48 yards. He continues to struggle. Ever since Dak Prescott got injured, Zeke has not been Zeke. I know the offensive line is not the same, but, you know, it's just not good. I mean, Tony Pollard had 11 carries for 39 yards, so, it's not looking good for the Cowboys overall in a sense of what Zeke is giving you from a production standpoint. You can't really expect those fancy stud days from him. And then for the Bengals, Giovanni Bernard, he only had 3 carries for 8 yards. They pulled him after a fumble for Trayvon Williams, and then he ended up having 12 carries for 49 yards. And then Shamaje Perine had 10 carries for 32 yards. From the wide receiver standpoint, we got Amari Cooper for the Cowboys. He was 4 for 51 and a touchdown on 5 targets. And CeeDee Lamb was 2 for 46 on 2 targets. So not a lot of heavy, they ran the ball 25 times, you know, right? So like they just were not throwing the ball very often. You had Cooper with 5 targets, CeeDee Lamb with 2 targets, Dalton Schultz with 3, and then Michael Gallup led with 6. You know, because I had said in my podcast for all my matchups that Michael Gallup continues to be the guy that is heavily looked at from Andy Dalton. I mean, he had 11 targets in week 13, and then he had 6 targets this week. So just something to look at. And then for the Bengals, surprisingly, A.J. Green, he led the Bengals with 6 receptions for 62 yards and a touchdown. He had 7 targets. T. Higgins was 5 for 49 on 8 targets. And then Tyler Boyd was 5 for 43 on 9 targets. So, you know, you're still getting, you know, decent production out of T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. I mean, it's not the same with Joe Burrow, obviously. But at least he's giving you some, you know, some flex wide receiver 3-4 numbers just because it's just the volume. And they're the only really guys that you can really throw to. But overall, you know, at least they're not getting goose eggs for you. Now, going on to the Chiefs versus the Dolphins. The Chiefs won this game 33-27. Very surprising on how this game was played out because Patrick Mahomes, man, he struggled this game. I mean, he still threw for 393 yards and 2 touchdowns. We had 3 interceptions. There was this long sack he ran and got like a 30-yard, you know, sack, loss of yards. But not the typical game you see from Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he still got you a decent amount of points, but you never really see him throw so many interceptions in a game. Then Tua, he had a very good fantasy outing this week. He had 316 yards with 2 touchdowns and an interception. Then he gave you another 6 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown. So 3 total touchdowns for Tua. So a really good game for Tua. And then when it comes to rushing, Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill, he had 1 carry for 32 yards and a touchdown. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 16 carries for 32 yards. So, you know, Tyreek Hill was tied for the lead rusher for the Chiefs yesterday, which is pretty funny. But, you know, that's just kind of the Chiefs really don't have any ground game right now. I'm very surprised about that. But the Dolphins are a good defense, so you can't really take credit away from that. And then on the Dolphins side of the ball, because Myles Gaskin is out for week 14 and possibly week 15, Jondre Washington was a guy that had 13 carries for 35 yards, so he had the bulk of the carries. When it comes to Kansas City Chiefs and the wide receivers, Travis Kelce, he led all Chiefs with 8 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown on 10 targets. And then Tyreek Hill was 3 for 79 and a touchdown on 7 targets. And when it comes to the Dolphins, you know, it was very interesting names that you really don't really hear much about, but Lynn, you know, Bowden Jr., he had 7 receptions for 82 yards on 9 targets. Mac Hollins was 5 for 66 on 9 targets. And then Mike Gesicki was 5 for 65 on 6 targets. But he had 2 touchdowns. So he had a very good game yesterday. Unfortunately, he had injured his shoulder. So we're still trying to determine what the severity of that is. But, you know, it's one of those things where he's been a good play. And I think that it's nice to see that Tua was going after him. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick loves Mike Gesicki. And to see that Tua was looking for him was a very good indication for things to go forward. Now going on to the Giants versus the Cardinals. So the Cardinals won this game 26-7. You know, not pretty quiet game from Kyler Murray. You know, he had 244 yards and 1 touchdown, and he gave you another 13 rushes for 47 yards. Daniel Jones, not a good game at all. He only had 127 yards with no touchdowns and no interceptions. And then Kenyon Drake, he had 23 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. Wayne Gallman, he was 12 for 57. Deion Lewis is the one who had the rushing touchdown on Sunday. And then from the wide receiver standpoint, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, he had a good game, 9 for 136 on 11 targets. He didn't really score, but he still gave me that PPR production. And then Dan Arnold, the tight end, he had 2 receptions for 27 yards and a touchdown. On the New York side of the ball, just very, very ugly. I mean, honestly, really nothing to talk about here. I mean, only thing is that Darius Slayton had 3 catches for 31 yards, 8 targets. He led the team in targets, but Golden Tate led the game for their wide receiver, 1 catch for 39 yards. So you can kind of tell how bad that game was overall when it comes to fantasy outputs. Now moving on to the Panthers versus the Broncos. The Broncos won this game 32-27. Drew Lock showed up yesterday. He had 280 yards and 4 touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater, he did not show up. He did show up, but he didn't show up on the stats. He only had 283 yards. No touchdowns passing, but he did have a rushing touchdown. On the ground, Melvin Gordon, he had 13 carries for 68 yards. Philip Lindsay was 11 for 24. Mike Davis, great game from him, 11 for 51 with 2 touchdowns. From the wide receiver standpoint for the Broncos, KJ Hamler, he was 2 for 86 and 2 touchdowns on 3 targets. You know, Jerry Jeudy, quiet game from him, 2 for 42 on 4 targets. And Tim Patrick, once again, scores a touchdown. He had 3 receptions for 36 yards on 5 targets. Now, when it comes to the Panther side of the ball, Robbie Anderson led with 8 receptions for 84 yards and 12 targets. And Curtis Samuel had 7 catches for 68 yards on 9 targets. So with DJ Moore being out, we saw the production of like just the target share go up for Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, and Mike Davis. So not bad fancy outings from the skill position. Now going on to the Titans versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans won this game 31-10. Ryan Tannehill, pretty decent game. He had 212 yards on 2 touchdowns. You know, Gardner Minshew, he came in and he in relief of Mike Glenn, and he had 178 yards and a touchdown. So, no one started Gardner Minshew obviously because he was benched. But I think that going forward, I like Gardner Minshew. I think he's one of those grinders, and he's continue to compete. So I really think that he could have some super flex or 2 quarterback league appeal going forward, but I think they play Baltimore this week in week 15, so that's probably not the best option. But going to the ground game, Derrick Henry, another Derrick Henry game, 26 carries for 215 yards and two touchdowns. So Derrick Henry continues just to be a monster. James Robson had a pretty quiet game. He only had 12 carries on 67 yards, which, we know that James Robson has a pretty... He doesn't have one of the toughest matchups for the playoffs, but he has it's not the easiest either. And, from what he's been doing all season, this is kind of a letdown game where he only had, the 67 yards rushing, but, he did give you 4 catches for 16 yards. So overall, not a terrible, terrible fantasy outing. But from the wide receiver standpoint, AJ Brown, man, he continues to be a stud. I don't understand why people don't look at AJ Brown as an elite wide receiver. I know, DK Metcalf and a lot of these other guys like Justin Jefferson, like some of these guys who are electric, but AJ Brown is consistent. I mean, he had 7 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown yesterday on 9 targets. Had a beautiful one-handed grab in the beginning of the game. I mean, AJ Brown is a must start every single week, and he has a pretty decent fantasy schedule too. So I think AJ Brown is going to be just a stud for the rest of the season. This is the time of the year last year that he turned it on. He turned it on, in the end of the season throughout, the fantasy playoffs. And, he helped win a lot of people games. So A.J. Brown continues to be a stud. And then for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Keelan Cole, he led the team with 7 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets. Laviska Shenault Jr., 6 catches for 49 yards on 11 targets. What's surprising to me was D.J. Chark. He's only 2 for 16 on 9 targets. So he was getting the targets, but... just wasn't translated on the stat sheet. But overall, I think that, the Titans are, Titans, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, I think they're going to be, pretty decent going forward. All right, now moving on to the Indianapolis Colts versus the Las Vegas Raiders. The Colts won this game 44-27. Now, Phillip Rivers, he had 244 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not a bad fancy outing from him. Derek Carr, he had 316 yards with 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Jonathan Taylor, man, he blew up yesterday. He had 20 carries for 150 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, this guy, hopefully this is the breakout game that we needed to see from Jonathan Taylor, but everyone was waiting for this to happen and finally did. You know, we had Cam Akers on Thursday night, you know, blow up. Now we have Jonathan Taylor blowing up, you know, so these rookies are starting to kind of find their way, and it's cool to see. For the Raiders, Josh Jacobs, he only had 13 carries for 49 yards, so not a very good game from him. From the wide receiver standpoint, T.Y. Hilton, once again, last three games, scored a touchdown. In the last three games, he was 5 for 86 and two touchdowns on 7 targets. I mean, he gets Houston Texans again in week 15. T.Y. Hilton finally has turned it on. You know, Jack Doyle, he led the tight ends with 3 catches for 44 yards on 3 targets, and Michael Pittman was 2 for 42 on 5 targets. For the Raiders, Nelson Aguilar, he's the one who he led the team with 5 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown on 9 targets. And Darren Waller was 7 for 75 on 10 targets. So overall, I mean, your fantasy guys, like you probably started, didn't do, a lot of people probably didn't play Nelson Aguilar unless you're like in deeper leagues. But overall, I mean, not a bad outing from some of the fantasy, you know, players other than like Josh Jacobs. But going on to the Jets versus the Seahawks. Now, obviously, this is an ugly game. And Russell Wilson, you know, he got pulled in before the fourth quarter even started. So if you're playing Russell Wilson and you are down, you need more fantasy points. That sucks because like you never want to see your starting quarterback get pulled. But honestly, I mean, Russell Wilson, he had 206 yards and 4 touchdowns and interception. I mean, he gave you what you needed from a fantasy standpoint. So one of the top fantasy players for the week. Sam Darnold continues to do Sam Darnold things, 132 yards with 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. On the ground game, Chris Carson, he was 12 for 76 on the touchdown. Carlos Hyde was 15 carries for 66 yards. For New York, you know, this is, you know, Ty Johnson was one of the top waiver wire pickups for this last week because of the status of Frank Gore determined if he was going to play because of the concussion. And he was active yesterday, but then, you know, nothing from the ground game. I mean, Josh Adams was the leading rusher with 27 yards on 6 carries. And you had Frank Gore, he was 8 for 23. And then Ty Johnson was 8 for 16. So, you know, unfortunately, you have to try to play players based on workload. And no one expected Josh Adams to be the guy that would lead in yardage. But it's what it is, you know. When it comes to the wide receivers. Now, for the New York Jets, Denzel Mims was out week 14 because of personal issues. Now he's back with the team now. And you would think, okay, well, that gives Breshad Perriman more target share. And it did. You know, he led the team in targets, but it translated for 3 catches for 26 yards and on 6 targets. And then Braxton Berrios was a guy who had led the team with 3 receptions for 49 yards on 5 targets. So overall, I mean, and then Jameson Crowder, he was 2 for 7 on 5 targets. Just a bad game, you know, for the New York Jets. On the Seattle side of the ball, DK Metcalf continues to do DK Metcalf things. 6 for 61 and a touchdown, 8 targets. Tyler Lockett, pretty quiet game. He was 5 for 52 on 5 targets. Both Will Disley had a touchdown and Freddie Swan had a touchdown. So, and David Moore had a touchdown. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously DK Metcalf is the receiver that you wanted in Seattle all along. Tyler Lockett's so up and down based on the matchup, but ever since he had that 53-point game early in the season, Tyler Lockett has been kind of average. But then again, I mean, he's a guy that can always blow up at any given moment because he plays the slot. But overall, your fantasy guys for Seattle, you know, did decently if you play in PPR. Now going on to the Packers versus the Lions, the Packers won this game 31-24. Now Aaron Rodgers, another great performance. He had 290 yards on three touchdowns, and he had another rushing touchdown. So 4 total touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers. Matthew Stafford, he had 244 yards and a touchdown. Now, like I said earlier in the podcast, he's in doubt for week 15 due to a rib injury. So Chase Daniel will be the guy that will be starting if Matt Stafford can't go. From the ground game, Aaron Jones, quiet game, 15 carries for 69 yards, and you had Jamal Williams have 10 carries for 38 yards. For the Lions, DeAndre Swift was active. Didn't do much. He did have a touchdown. He was 7 for 24 and a touchdown. Adrian Peterson, he had 4 carries for 7 yards. when it comes to the wide receivers, Davante Adams, another big game from Davante Adams. He was 7 for 115 in the touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling was 6 for 85 in a touchdown on 6 targets. And Robert Tonyan was 5 for 36 on and a touchdown on 5 targets. Alan Lazard, I know the Packers are trying to ease him in, but not a very good game from Alan Lazard. He had 2 catches for 19 yards on 3 targets. When it comes to the Lions, Danny Amendola was a guy who led with receptions and yardage. He was 6 for 66 and 7 targets. I really don't like that stat line because there's 3 sixes in a row. But it is what it is. Marvin Jones, he had 4 catches for 48 yards on 8 targets. And TJ Hockenson had a great game. He was 6 for 43 and a touchdown on 11 targets. So other than Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, you know, those are probably, and Marvin Jones maybe. I mean, these are the main guys that probably were starting fantasy leagues, but not the most points you would hope for in this game based on some of the guys that you were starting fantasy. Now going on to the Saints versus the Eagles. Surprisingly, the Eagles beat the Saints 24-21. You know, Taysom Hill, he was not doing very good. I have Taysom Hill in one of my leagues. I played him over Cam Newton. And I was getting really concerned because I looked at the score and he only had like 1 point. And then he turned it around. So he ended the game with 291 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. He had given another 33 yards on the ground. Jalen Hurts, not from a quarterback standpoint, he only had 167 yards and a touchdown. But on the ground, he gave you 18 carries for 106 yards. So I think this is going to be the secret weapon for the Eagles right now. I think that because of his ability and the athleticism of him, this is going to be what's going to help this team kind of be better offensively. When it comes to the ground game, I mean, Miles Sanders had a great game yesterday. So, yes, he had an 82-yard touchdown run, but he had 14 carries for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. We finally saw his snap count go up, which everyone's concerned about the snap count. He was losing a lot of snaps to Boston Scott, and they had activated Jordan Howard last week, so we're concerned. I benched Miles Sanders for David Montgomery. Now, I had a bye week, so it didn't really matter. I still like set in my lineups like I'm going to play. But I'm glad that Miles Sanders had this type of game because it's much needed. Hopefully, this is something going forward that trends in the right direction for Miles Sanders because he's so talented that they need to continue to let him just be in that on the field all the time. For the Saints, Alvin Kamara. Now, not a bad game. He had 11 carries for 50 yards and a touchdown. He led the backfield with carries. He gave you another 7 receptions for 44 yards as well. So just obviously he's such a great receiver. I'm glad that he got 10 targets. He led the team in 10 targets because we were really concerned about how Alvin Kamara's production is. And this offense goes to Alvin Kamara. They need to continue to give him the ball regardless of quarterback. So hopefully that continues next week. When it comes to wide receivers, Michael Thomas, he was 8 for 84 on 8 targets. Traquan Smith was 3 for 60 on 6 targets. And Emmanuel Sanders was 3 for 48 and a touchdown on 5 targets. And Jared Cook, surprisingly, 2 games in a row, he's had a touchdown. He was 3 for 37 and a touchdown on 4 targets. For the Eagles, Jalen Reagor, he led with 2 receptions, 46 yards on 4 targets. Dallas Goedert was 4 for 43. Miles Sanders is 4 for 21. And then Zach Ertz is 2 for 8 on 3 targets. So I watch these games on Red Zone, so I didn't really see it. I have to look at his snap count to kind of see how many routes he ran and what the snap count percentage was. But it looks like Dallas Goedert is going to be the guy that you want to own as a tight end for the Eagles. Now going on to the Falcons versus the Chargers. Close game, but the Chargers won this game 20-17. Ugly game for Matt Ryan, 224 yards and a touchdown and 3 interceptions. Justin Herbert, 243 yards and 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. When it comes to the ground game, we knew that Todd Gurley was active, and I had him as Todd Gurley / Edo Smith as like a flex this week, / as like a kind of a boom bust, because Todd Gurley just does not look the same. Edo Smith looks like he does most of the production, and then Todd Gurley does more of the red zone and the goal line work. And Edo Smith, I mean, he had 11 carries for 42 yards. He led the team. Then he gave another reception for 3 yards. So not the greatest game from either of the running backs for the Falcons. When it comes to the Chargers, Austin Eckler, 15 carries for 79 yards. Kalen Ballage had 7 carries for 14 yards. But at the wide receiver position, Austin Eckler, he had 9 receptions for 67 yards. So this is the bread and butter for Austin Eckler. He is just like kind of like Alvin Kamara. You know, he's a guy who he's a good rusher, but a lot of his damage comes as a wide receiver. And this is why you want someone like this on your roster if you're playing a PPR league. Tyron Johnson for the Chargers, he was 6 for 55 in a touchdown on 7 targets. And then Keenan Allen was 9 for 52 in a touchdown on 11 targets. And Hunter Henry had 6 catches for 41 yards on 8 targets. For the Falcons, Julio Jones this game, so all of it went to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley had 8 receptions for 124 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets. Russell Gage, pretty good game, 5 for 82 on 7 targets. And then, unfortunately, Hayden Hurst, another awful game from him. He had 1 catch for 7 yards on 3 targets. So, you know, it is starting to get to the point where can you trust Hayden Hurst going forward? Because he, you know, obviously he gets the targets, but he's just not doing much right now, and you can't really have that going on in your fantasy playoffs. I mean, like I said, I had a bye week this week, and I had put actually Noah Fant in for Hayden Hurst, and I got 0 points from Noah Fant because he left the game with an illness that was like non-COVID related. But, I mean, tight end says if you don't have if you don't have Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, you know, these type of guys, you're really not going to really have a lot of great production. It's a crapshoot. You're pretty much throwing darts, kind of see who's going to be the guy who gets you some points. But it just sucks. Hayden Hurst is a talented player. It sucks that he's just not producing right now. And going on to the Washington football team versus the San Francisco 49ers. Washington won this game 23-15. You know, honestly, not really anything to talk about from the quarterback position. Pretty much Alex Smith got injured and he left the game. So Dwayne Haskins came in. On the ground game, J.D. McKissic, he had 11 carries for 68 yards. Then he gave another 2 receptions for 18 yards. So really not Antonio Gibson type numbers that you're hoping for based on the Gibson being out. Peyton Barber, he had 12 carries for 37 yards. And then when it comes to Raheem Mostert and the 49ers, he had 14 carries on 65 yards. You know, he gave you another 2 catches for 5 yards. Jeff Wilson, you know, 11 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. And then he gave you another catch for 13 yards as well. You know, this was pretty much the way they scored was the Washington football team chased, you know, Chase Young is, I don't know, man. This guy is a beast. And I don't know if you're able to watch this guy play, but I watched this game on the Red Zone. And this guy is a monster. Like, I do not understand how guys like that are so athletic and who can move like he does. I mean, this Washington football team is gonna be pretty good going forward with Chase Young being the leader on that team, with, you know, being the edge rusher that he is. But he's just different. He's just built different. That guy is a monster. But going back to the wide receivers, for the Washington football team, Logan Thomas, you know, not a bad game. He had 6 catches for 43 yards on 7 targets. Terry McLaurin, ugly game, 2 catches for 24 yards. For the 49ers, good game from Brandon Ayuk, 10 catches for 119 yards on 16 targets. Kendrick Bourne had 3 catches for 42 yards on 7 targets. And unfortunately, Debo Samuel went out early with a hamstring injury, so his stats for Week 15 is still unknown. And now going to the Sunday night football game, the Steelers versus the Bills. Bills handed the Steelers their second loss in a row. They beat the Steelers 26-15. Now, not a very good game from Big Ben. He had 187 yards with 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Josh Allen, he had 238 yards with 2 touchdowns and interception. No ground game for the Steelers whatsoever. 10 carries for 18 yards for James Conner. For the Buffalo Bills, Zach Moss, he had 13 carries for 43 yards. And then Devin Singletary gave you 7 carries for 32 yards. So both teams could not run the ball at all. However, when it comes to the Buffalo Bills and the receiving game, Stephon Diggs, 10 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown on 14 targets. Cole Beasley, 5 catches for 41 yards on 10 targets. Gabriel Davis, 3 catches for 19 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, not bad for the Buffalo Bills, especially this Stephon Diggs against that defense. Great, great game from him. On Pittsburgh side of the ball, Juju Smith-Schuster, 6 catches for 55 yards on 7 targets. Deontay Johnson, man, he had 4 catches for 40 yards and 7 targets. You know, the beginning of that game was bad for him. He dropped a couple balls. He got benched. James Washington came in and got the touchdown. But just something to look at. I mean, you know, I have Chase Claypool, and he's just not getting. He's not having the fancy production that he had, you know, weeks ago. You know, he had 3 catches for 15 yards and 6 targets. So I don't know, man. I hope that they have a pretty. I think they play the Bengals this coming up week, and I hope that they're able to turn this around, because, you know, Chase Claypool is such a physical wide receiver. He's a big wide receiver. Hopefully that, from a selfish standpoint, they're able to turn that around. But that's all the reactions for week 14. Now I'm going to go on to all the fancy studs for week 14. And start off with the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers, he leads, you know, all quarterbacks with 30.9 fancy points. Tua was second with 27 fancy points. And then Drew Lock was the third highest score this week with 25.6 PPR or fancy points. So, you know, one constant name up there with Aaron Rodgers, and two names that you really don't see up there very often with Tua and Drew Lock. So those are the top quarterbacks for week 14. Now going on to the running back position, you know, Derrick Henry, he led with 36.2 PPR points. Jonathan Taylor, he was 30, you know, he had 30.5 PPR points. And then Miles Sanders had 29.6 PPR points. Going to the wide receiver position, Stephon Diggs leads all wide receivers with 29.1 PPR points. Allen Robinson was second with 27.3. And then Calvin Ridley was third with 26.4, just beating out Tyreek Hill. And then going to the tight end position, Travis Kelce led all tight ends with 27.6 PPR points. Mike Gesicki was second with 23.5. And then you had Irv Smith Jr. with 16.3 PPR points. So, you know, that's when you see, like, Travis Kelce is always that guy that's usually scoring somewhere in the 20s every single week. And you see just the big drop-off. Now, I know Mike Gesicki is kind of the anomaly here, but you had 27.6, 23.5, and he drops to 16.3. And to be a tight end one this week, which I go, because usually there's the standard size leagues, there's 12 leagues. It is Dan Arnold, the Arizona Cardinals, he was 12th on this list at 10.7. So think about it, the number one tight end this week was had 27.6 points, you know, and to be a tight end one this week at the 12th position, it was 10.7. So dramatic difference on tight ends this week and just the landscape of it. I mean, it's been kind of crazy, but those are all the fancy studs for week 14. And we got one more matchup. We got our Monday night football game tonight. We got the Browns versus the Ravens. Now, hopefully you are known that you're going to, hopefully you know you're going to win, you know, based on who's playing tonight. So we got a quarterback, obviously, we got Baker Mayfield. We got, you know, Lamar Jackson. We have Marquise Brown. You know, we have some pieces here. Obviously, you got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. So there's some fancy implications on people you're starting. So hopefully this will be a game that you're able to win your week 14 matchup to move on to the semifinals. But it's going to be an exciting game. It's nice to be able to have a bye week. If you're the one who has a bye week, to be able to just watch these games and just enjoy football without being stressed out if you're going to win or lose. But, you know, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Now, I'll be back tomorrow when I drop my podcast. And hopefully my YouTube will be working where I can put my video podcast up on YouTube as well. But I'll be giving you all my top waiver wire pickups for week 15. The list is pretty short, but at least give you some options just in case you need it. So that'll be posted for tomorrow. Now, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us over on Facebook and Twitter, The Gridiron Pod. And we're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So good luck tonight. Hopefully you're able to come back and win for your fancy playoffs. So good luck, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.